It is the burden of my heart that from all my life and in all my ways, I will be able to say with the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I'm very, very sadly aware that Satan, from the very beginning, has been trying to replace God's word with some other answer. And nobody can leave an impression about where the answers really are like writers or preachers or parents or teachers or whatever you are, you have a place to fill. Greet you in Jesus' name. Again, I confess great nervousness to stand before such an erudite and scholarly crowd, but I am glad for the privilege to be here and learn from you as I sit in workshops and classes and listen to what you have to say. Our text is found in Colossians chapter 3, but the heartthrob of this message is all through the New Testament. Yesterday, we took time to worship, to learn Jesus for who he is. If you miss who he is, you'll start looking for answers somewhere else. But if you understand who he is, that he is the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who has tenderly watched over. You know, when we love people, when we love the second person, we divide our love out until finally, if you have 14 children, you love them all, right? But you don't quite know how to reach around to everyone. That's so different from God. God intensely loves each one of his children, each person he has created. And the more that are his children, the more he loves them. And this is Jesus. He is not divided out. And that's why he went away. But he's not divided out. And so that if a whole lot of people love him, or he loves a whole lot of people, he can hardly reach around. He knows every one of us intensely. And for those who choose to obey Jesus' commandments, he says, I will love him, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Today, we're looking at the dynamic of what the Jesus we looked at yesterday, what he can be in our lives if we let him be that. And how do we get that? Our title says it well, the Word dwelling in you. I'd like to read the verse. I said yesterday how the Ephesians and Colossians were written from the same prison cell, probably the same time, in another book that I still wish that I knew where it was. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. May I read this in the Amplified? Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. This morning, the purpose of this message is to try to make it practical. And I thought for a long time I was going to talk about different ways that Christ's word dwells in our hearts. And after a while, it dawned on me what I should be talking about is the miracle that happens, the transformation that happens when his word dwells in our hearts. You know, when I went to school, when in first, second, third grades, they taught me math, and I learned that if you add 1 + 1, something happens and that becomes 2. And then I went to chemistry class later in 10th grade. I loved chemistry. And I found out all about chemical reactions, and you can put two elements together that don't seem like there's much to them, and all of a sudden you get a whole new product produced out of that. And the dynamic of that is so fascinating because it goes so beyond what math can do. It's more like multiplication, but even more than multiplication, you get something totally new. All of that pales compared to what a sinful soul coming to Christ and being transformed by his power and by God's word dwelling in him. What happens there? And the underlying note you're going to hear me say this morning, let's keep our confidence in that transformation and don't go anywhere else. I'm sorry. I get a little intense over that. I feel that pretty strongly. In Colossians 1, he says it this way about this Jesus. He says, to whom God would make known, this mystery is made known to the saints, to you, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have Jesus living in you? If his word is in you, then Jesus is in you. But if it's just news, if it's just modern ideology, if it's just theories, it's not Jesus. And then we go, he says, we preach, warning every man. He wants to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Jesus wants to be working mightily in every one of his children. That is the goal. Or like Ephesians says it. In Ephesians, he says it this way. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Let the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. But let me back up to 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How? In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, God wants to see working in every one of us. And so this whole reality of who Jesus is not just so you have a head knowledge. The reality of who Jesus is so that it affects our hearts and our lives and every part of our life. I would like to just use our board again this morning. And I would like to, I forgot my microphone. Where is that thing? Here it is. We'll see if I can get it to working again today. I sort of need this power that worketh on me to help me to talk about this power that worketh in us. So, excuse me, I did forget all about that, thinking all about what I wanted to talk about. Okay, we'll see if that can work. Thank you. The word dwelling. The Greek word for that is enoikos, which means in housing or inhabiting or taking up his residence, his address in your heart. And so our body, our mind, our intellect, our personhood becomes a vehicle for the Holy Spirit of God to be expressed. And in you, this is our title, and I want to add the word generates. Because as I tried to think of a word that would say it, generates carries the idea of means it's more than a chemical reaction, it's more than a mathematical reaction. It is a life-giving reaction. And the very first one, that when the word is in us, number one, it's being, I'm going to borrow from 1 Peter, and I should have that verse reference memorized, but he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, what?
By the word of God.
By the word of God that liveth and abideth in us. I don't quite have that right. But when the word of God is in us, It creates the new birth. Now, the question that I have for you, except a man be born again. How many of you writers think that that's proper grammatic, grammar? Except a man be born again. Don't you get born? Weren't you born? Except a man was born again? And why does this say being born again? I tried to sell this to a crowd one time, and a brother got very reactionary against it. He said, we don't be born. I was born again once, and that's it. But I still think the Bible teaches us that when the Word of God gets in our hearts again, we are born all over again. Something comes alive again. I don't know how you are, but I get away from the Bible too long. I start dying. And then I'll go sit. I'm a little like Psalms 73, where he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, and he looked at other people, and he studied their lives, and he's like, forget about it, you know? People are going crazy. Some people are making bukus of money, and they got all kind of power and this and that and the other thing. And you go and sit in church, and the scales fall away from your eyes, and you're like, yeah, serving God, that's what I want to do. And it all makes sense again. And life comes again, being born again, not of corruptible seed. The eyes of your understanding being open. Is there anything that can help you better than realizing that my life on earth is just a tiny little speck of an eternal existence that is before me? How long are you going to live in this world? How many of your little puny little goals in writing this book or that masterpiece article or this or that, how many of those things are going to be accomplished? And how long will you exist in eternity? When you put it in a bigger perspective, all of a sudden something happens inside. And we're okay being ordinary individuals who won't see all of our goals accomplished. And we don't always have enough money, and we don't have enough of this, and we don't have... And it's okay, because this isn't all we're created for. We're made for another world. We're not made for this one. He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He has made us for immortality, but we're going through a temporary test. And put everything in that perspective. What if you would fall tomorrow, break your neck, and be a quadriplegic for the rest of your life? How long will that affect you? How much will it matter in 25 years? My age, how much will it matter in probably 5 years, 10 years, you know? This perspective, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And so this is what happens. And in the second one I'd like to use from 2 Peter, he says, whereby are given unto us. He talks about grace and peace being multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. And he goes on, and there's another verse in between, but then he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. And maybe I shouldn't separate these. But this morning, do you want the divine nature, or you want your old human nature? Which one do you want? You're going to have to take time seizing, reading, meditating on the promises of the Word of God. And this is another thing that happens. Partakers. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. How many of you still struggle with your evil nature? Anybody else here that way? Uh-huh. How are we going to get free from that? Don't you wish you could have a second work of grace so you get free from your evil nature forever and ever and ever? Sometimes I think it happens, and I'm like, oh, good. No, I just haven't been tempted for a while. The next thing, boom, all over, you know, and you're saying, I need to be a partaker of the divine nature. How are you going to get that transformation? Not one plus one, not by writing one more chapter in your book, but you're going to get that divine nature by absorbing some of these exceeding great and precious promises. So this is the Word dwelling in you, all right? It's not just a Jesus who existed and you don't know where he is today, but he's alive, he's real, and he wants to be in our heart through reading. Well, I wasn't going to get on there. Is my time up already? Oh, I got 1 minute yet. I was going to have a number of points from this one. He talks about richly. Rich.
Now, I just put down riches. Because if you look at that verse, or the way I read it in the Amplified, it says that the person who has may dwell in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. I don't know what your bank account looks like, but every one of us as a child of God can be a rich person. And I looked it up. Oh, where are my notes this morning? I don't know what I did with them. I did have them. Oh, yes, yes. I looked that up, and I wanted this definition from the dictionary. Having high value or quality, well supplied or endowed, and the true riches of Luke 16:11. If you don't do right with your finances, who will trust with you true riches? This morning, is it possible to have a pretty low income and a pretty low bank account and be truly, truly, truly rich? Is it? Can you have a life? Can you have a pen? Can you be a preacher? Can you live a life of abundance if you are living at a self-poverty level? There's no riches inside. The Bible says, let the word dwell in you. And I believe what it means is with its richness, with its riches. And sometimes the poorest people are the richest people around. Number four, wisdom. Wish we had time to unpack that. Wisdom, the ability that God gives man to work out a harmonious relationship with himself, with his people in his life, and with his environment. In other words, wisdom is the ability that God gives you to solve your problems. Do you know somebody whose problems are overcoming them? What do they need? Do they need another pill? What do they need? They need the Word of God in them. This is what the book promises. And why do we think we have to come with another answer or follow some other theory? Oh, I'm so burdened about this, because if we will be Christian light in its truest sense, our writing, our teaching, our gospel must be the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the Bible says that it is. And if you don't believe the Bible is this, then let's stay and have a revival meetings and an altar call here today. Because this is where it's at. Now, does it need to be explained and taught and revealed and put into everyday life? Absolutely. And that's what our goal is, to be the preachers of the gospel in whatever way we can. Number five, teaching and admonishing. Correcting each other. Being able to show a plain path to other people. And number six, songs. They're all here, songwriting, song singing, and the way we talk to each other. Oh, go to 9:10. I'm already there. Thank you, Brother Wes. God bless you all. Somehow, let's get a hold of this. The Jesus that is there, that is reality, he's more real than this building is. He's more real than anything of our five senses. Wants to dwell in your hearts through his word, and he wants you to go and share that power, that mighty power that's working in you, to other people who need it desperately. God bless you.